You might have thought that two-year budget so-called deal between Republicans and Democrats would have made reaching a 2018 budget easy this time around. But as this year's fifth continuing resolution nears its Friday deadline, relations on Capitol Hill look about as frosty as the weather we're having. Joining me with the outlook, Bloomberg Government Editorial Director Lauren Duggan. And Lauren, the text of the bill is out, is not out. What's going on?
So the text is not out. We were waiting last night to get that. Midnight was an important deadline because it will take 3 days between whenever that bill is released and when a House vote can happen. So to get a vote on Wednesday, they needed to have the bill text filed by Monday night. That didn't happen. Although we do have that two-year budget cap deal in place, which made it easier to get to a spending bill, we're down to arguing about the nitty-gritty about some of the big policy items that they want to stick in that bill, and that's really what's holding them up from coming to a final agreement on this package.
It looks like the Affordable Care Act and immigration questions have reared their ugly heads once again to cause a potential impasse here.
They did come up here towards the end, and their fates are a little different right now. The ACA stabilization language, which had been sought in particular by some folks in the Senate, that seems to be off the table at this point. Abortion politics actually have gotten involved there, where in exchange for including some of these stabilization payments, they wanted to have language that would reference the Hyde Amendment, which restricts the use of federal funds on abortions. The Democrats, who will be needed to get this package over the line, were balking at that. So as of last night, it looks like the ACA stabilization was off the table. Immigration does seem very much alive, and there could be different permutations of what would go into this package. At the very least, they have to deal with President Trump's request for $1.6 billion for border funding that he put in his budget request for fiscal 2018, and that was part of some of the discussion as the appropriations bills were moving through last year. Now, whether that's accompanied by broader changes or additional immigration agents or a fix to the DACA program, that's sort of what was one of the things cooking last night.
Getting back to the stabilization funds for the Affordable Care Act, when you say they're off the table, that means they will not be included in the budget one way or the other? Or what does that mean exactly?
That's correct. So when the Republican conference met Monday night, Paul Ryan seemed to indicate to his members, and this is what our reporters were tracking as they were leaving, that seemed to be off the table, not going to be included in the package, that it's just the dynamics of that aren't going to work out for it to be part of the omnibus. So that one seems to not be in the mix anymore, but the border security, immigration, and some other questions are very much in the mix.
And the stabilization fund would have subsidized certain exchange healthcare options for certain states, correct?
That's correct. And this is something that Sue Collins and others in the Senate have been trying to work on, Lamar Alexander and Patty Murray, with different versions of that over the course of the last year. This came up during the debate in the House and the Senate about what to do with Obamacare, whether to repeal and replace it. But that bill, which has been discussed often, still doesn't seem to be in the package. And there could still be efforts to force a vote somewhere along the line during this debate when the bill reaches the Senate. But as far as the package that's going to be the deal, quote unquote, it doesn't seem to be part of that.
Now, the White House seemed to offer DACA protection in exchange for substantial funding for the wall, but that seems to be a non-starter also.
That seems to have fallen apart as well. And the president even tweeted about it last night that Democrats won't have a deal on DACA, and it would be so easy to make a deal, is I think paraphrasing what his tweet was last night. But there did seem to be efforts over the weekend to pair more than that $1.6 billion just for fiscal 2018 with DACA, because the president wants longer-term funding or a longer-term plan in place to give greater certainty that the wall and the other border security measures would be taken. I think we, during the course of this DACA discussion, have heard a $25 billion over several years number. I'm not sure how much of that would have been offered in exchange for having a few years of DACA certainty, if you will, for the people whose status is uncertain as a result of the cancellation of that program, which has since been put on hold by the courts. But that was another dynamic that was playing out in terms of could there be an agreement to insert language into this massive spending bill.
We're speaking with Lauren Duggan, editorial director of Bloomberg Government. And what else are they arguing about? Is that pretty much what's holding up the entire budget?
Well, one of the the things that's holding it up is actually a tunnel in that would affect the president's home state and home city of New York. There's a tunnel between New York and New Jersey that needs to be rebuilt. It's more than a century old, and it was damaged in 2012 after Superstorm Sandy. But there's a disagreement about how much federal funding should be provided for that and whether the states of New Jersey and New York should pick up more of the bill. The president doesn't want the spending package to include money, and although the project would be billions of dollars, we're talking more about a $900 million installment that would come as part of this bill. So President Trump has said he doesn't want it, and there are lawmakers such as Peter King, a New York Republican member of the House, who used last week's St. Patrick's Day festivities to try to lobby the president to get that money included because of the importance of the tunnel. Now, that tunnel is where trains such as Amtrak run through and get into New York City, so it is an important tunnel. It is an important part of the transportation system, but there's an open question about whether there will be funding in this bill, and if its inclusion would cause the president even to issue a veto threat, as has been suggested over the last couple of weeks.
Well, maybe the Maryland delegation could get the tunnel under Baltimore in the same bill because
exactly.
Spread it out.
Well, perhaps, but there doesn't seem to be a veto threat around Maryland funding for that, at least not at this point.
Sure. And so what is going to happen all day Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday then at this point?
Well, the clock is still ticking on this, and now the dynamic is if the bill of text is released sometime Tuesday, if they adhere to this three-day rule that they usually have, the earliest a vote could happen is very early on Thursday in the House. Then the bill would go over to the Senate, where because of the rules there about unlimited debate and needing to get 60 votes to close off that debate, you could see the clock running very close here to that Friday night at midnight deadline for government funding. So is there going to be a need for another continuing resolution to give a couple of days of wiggle room so that the House and Senate can process this bill, get all the votes taken care of, and get it to the president's desk? That might be necessary anyhow, just given the scope of this bill, it might be hard to wrap everything up. If not, we could be looking at another government shutdown. And, you know, obviously we've been here before this year already with that. There was a longer three-day shutdown earlier in the year than even a short few-hour shutdown that happened when one senator objected to quickly passing that two-year budget deal that also kept the government open. So that's the kind of dynamic we'll be watching. Congress is due to leave at the end of this week for a two-week recess, timed with Passover and Easter and spring breaks around the country. So that's another deadline that's kind of forcing action on this. And there's even a funeral on Friday morning in New York City for Louise Slaughter, the longtime House member from that state, who died last week. So there's a lot of dynamics that are forcing a deadline here on members of both chambers.
Well, that is getting close. Anything else they'll be doing in terms of congressional business as the week runs out?
Definitely. Both chambers are filling their time. The Senate is debating a bill about sex trafficking online and what responsibility sites such as Facebook, Craigslist, and others have there. They're taking up a House-passed bill, so there's a chance that that could even be sent to the president's desk by the end of the week. The House is also taking a look at some financial services bills after the Senate passed a somewhat bulky package of financial service changes last week, and that bill is still very much alive and not close to resolution, but the House is looking at the designation of non-banks as systemically important financial institutions, and also whether some things that aren't banks but yet have an effect on the financial system need to do stress tests. So some
sure.
Financial services bills there. So,
but very briefly, getting back to the basic budget parameters that were agreed to in that deal a couple of months ago, other than the issues we discussed, immigration and the wall and so forth and here and there, otherwise they have basic agreement on raising budgets on both the civilian and DOD sides.
That's right. That deal really did make it easier to get to the bare bones or the main meat of this bill, $80 billion more for the defense side, $63 billion more on the domestic non-defense side. And that should make it easier to get this package together. And now we're, as I said, arguing over these
sure.
details or these ride-alongs and not necessarily
right.
about the budget itself.
Lauren Duggan is editorial director of Bloomberg Government. Thanks so much.
Thank you.